I'm a deacon and shepherd here at College Church. Pastor Bill is away, and I pray he has a good rest this weekend. Pastor Bill asked me if I would be willing to share a message on being weird. I wonder why he asked me. Well, actually, we are in the middle of a series called Stay Weird Church. I like the graphic for this series with the 9 yellow fish going one way and 1 striped fish going the other direction. I like it because it embodies the church, the strange, wonderful ways Christians relate to one another. When the world seems to be swimming in one direction, Christians are a bit weird, peculiar, or countercultural to be swimming in the other direction. Do you feel like that? Should we as a church feel like that? We're looking at some key ways that Christians are weird, especially in how they relate to one another. So far, we've looked at humility in Philippians chapter 2, valuing and depending on one another in 1 Corinthians 12, navigating difference in Romans 14, 15, stewarding the resources God has given us in 1 Timothy 6. Today, I want to talk about encouragement. We live in a world and a culture where people are quick to complain, criticize, rant, push the cancel button, write people off, flip people off. News media and social media seem to point to or spiral into tearing people down rather than building people up. We can be different, weird, and we can offer encouragement. We can be in the business of building people up. So I want to talk about 3 things: the importance of encouragement, a biblical perspective on encouragement, specifically looking at the book of Hebrews, and ways we can offer encouragement. So what does encouragement look like? What image comes to mind when you think about encouragement? When has someone encouraged you? Maybe it's a graduation speech, it's that time of year, or a letter that came at just the right time, or a "you can do it" from someone you respect, or better yet, from someone you didn't expect at all. What image comes to mind when you think of encouragement? I like this silhouette from our backdrop, where you see someone offering a hand to another. I just feel how the person standing is making every effort to encourage the person who just can't get up. Encouragement is building others up, helping others move forward in their lives. I am thinking we can all agree that encouragement is important. We don't have to look far to see people weighed down by the brokenness of the world. People need encouragement. In fact, everyone needs encouragement. S. Truett Cathy said, "How do I identify a person who needs encouragement? That person is breathing." Several years back, a friend of mine in Christian ministry handled a situation poorly. The leader came to my friend and criticized her harshly. And while the leader was at it, made a point to bring up other situations that she had handled poorly as well. The result was my friend felt beaten down by a mountain of criticism. Maybe you or someone you know has been in that situation. This was 2 people in Christian ministry. Even people in Christian ministry need encouragement. The fact is that the leader had not created the fertile soil necessary for my friend to be ready for criticism. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger and hurt and feelings of inadequacy and the desire to give up. Criticism, if not handled with love and grace, can hurt. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Our words can either inspire or tear down those around us. In my friend's situation, I needed to step in and encourage, build my friend up, help her to gain a proper perspective of the situation, and help to point her forward. We need to be in the business of building each other up. Encouragement is not flattery or crafting words to make someone feel good about themselves. Encouragement is not a job where it is our goal to make someone happy. It is not spinning difficult situations or promising things that God has not promised. Scotty Smith said, "Encouragement is the heart art of coming alongside someone to offer the comfort, counsel, and consolation of the gospel." The first thing we often think of when we think of encouragement is affirmation. It's like the parent on the sidelines cheering the child on to win the race or score the goal. It's the words, "I'm praying for you," when we see someone going through a hard time. It's the get well cards and the texts we receive in the hospital. Affirmation is a super way to show encouragement, but there are other ways to show encouragement as well. How do we build each other up? Sometimes it's not words, it's presence. It's being there for someone. Presence can be a huge encouragement. Sometimes we build each other up by actions, sending a check to someone who could use the extra money, taking the time to take their trash out. Sometimes actions offer encouragement. Sometimes we encourage by listening and giving advice. But just being a sounding board as they work through the direction they need to go. Encouragement is a life-giving power that moves people forward in their lives. We should be in the business of building each other up. In 2016, two brothers, Alistair and Johnny Brownlee, were competing in a grueling triathlon. They had recently won both gold and silver, the two of them, in the Rio Olympic Games, and were poised to do the same in the World Triathlon Series in Cozumel, Mexico. It was 95 degrees and 90% humidity. Johnny was comfortably in the lead in the last kilometer of the 10-kilometer race when he started to show signs of heat exhaustion. He was weaving and looking like he was on the verge of collapse. His brother, Alistair, a bit behind him, neck and neck with a third runner, caught sight of Johnny. The video is amazing to watch. Alistair abandoned his own chance of winning the race and instinctively stepped aside to assist his brother while the third runner passed the brothers and won the race. Johnny ran the last steps in pain with his arm over his brother, and in the final seconds, Alistair nudges his hurting brother over the finish line before him so his hurting brother, would at least take second place. That's what encouragement looks like to me. It is setting aside our need to be first. It's taking a moment to pause from one's own course, from one's own path for what they think they're going to be doing that day in order to nudge someone on to the finish line. And it may cost something to do that. James Bryan Smith says, "We live in a culture with a false narrative that the community serves my needs. Our culture says, win the race, look out for number one, run past the person who is struggling so you can get to the finish line first. But Christians are weird because we are part of a community helping each other to complete the race. We should be ministers of encouragement, helping others to finish alongside us. I want to say that encouragement is something pretty much anyone can do. Virtually anyone can encourage. You may think, oh, it's for the extrovert or the person that's really has the gift of words. But we can all be encouragers. That's even true of an introvert, like me, a person who isn't eloquent with words, both a child and a parent, a person near the end of their earthly life, a person going through trials themselves. Encouragement is something that everyone can do. Some of our church's best encouragers are people who are going through or went through struggles themselves. We should be in the business of building each other up, and we all pretty much can do that. I talked a little about the importance of encouragement. Now I'd like to take a look at a biblical perspective on encouragement, looking at the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a letter that in some ways is more like a well-crafted sermon. We actually don't know who wrote it, but since the author is not named, though there are lots of theories, we do know that the author had a firsthand experience with Jesus' disciples, who were firsthand eyewitnesses of Jesus. As for the recipients of the letter, we actually don't know exactly where they're located, but we do know that they have a thorough understanding of the Old Testament, especially the first five books of the Bible. So it's safe to assume that the audience is Christ followers who are Jewish. And that's where the name Hebrews comes from. The recipients were discouraged, flagging, run down, running out of steam, thinking about giving up. They were under a lot of social pressure to blend into the surrounding culture, to lose their distinctiveness as Christ followers. Sometimes this meant being made fun of. Sometimes this meant being excluded or boycotted. Sometimes it meant being threatened with imprisonment or worse. Can you imagine what it would have felt like to be under that kind of pressure to abandon your faith? So what do they need? They need two things: clarity on who Jesus is and encouragement. If you haven't ever read the book of Hebrews, I recommend reading it or listening to the book straight through from beginning to end in one sitting. The audio is about 30 minutes. You'll see how the author clearly points to Jesus as better than all the people and things of the Old Testament, and how he is the ultimate one presenting the sacrifice like a high priest, and at the same time, he is the ultimate sacrifice, as his blood is shed to cover our sins. But underlying this very vital message is the message of encouragement. The author assures them that they have everything to lose if they abandon their faith, but everything to gain if they go forward in faith. He reminds them that Jesus identifies with them and enables them to endure hardship. So I want to look at some words related to encouragement in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3:1 says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. If they or we are called to a life sustained by God, we are to fix our thoughts on Jesus." This verse gives me a first glimpse at a different kind of encouragement. You know, many in our society will say encouragement is good, but Christian encouragement points others to Jesus. This is another way that we are weird. Our encouragement is not just attaboys. Our job is to encourage others to put their hope in Jesus. To put their hopes, their framework, their context for dealing with hard situations, all those things on him. It is not platitudes. It is not a promise that there will be no pain or sorrow. To me, it says just the opposite. It says that in the pain and sorrow, we can be encouraged by fixing our thoughts on him. Now, the Bible has a long list of what I'm going to call one another verses. It's actually fun to go through the list. We are to greet one another, comfort one another, serve one another, be at peace with one another, wash one another's feet, be kind to one another, forgive one another, love one another. And the list keeps going on. But the one another verse that I want to focus on right now is chapter 3, verse 13 in Hebrews that says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Encourage one another. Biblical encouragement acknowledges that sin is real, that it is deceitful, and that we can be hardened by it. The exhortation is to encourage one another daily, daily. That reminds me that I should always be in the business of encouraging. I have to ask myself, am I encouraging others daily? Are my eyes too focused on my own situation and my own problems to be in the business of encouraging others? And am I building people up and helping others in their spiritual walk? I found that a hard question. Because I can be encouraging, but really offering spiritual encouragement is just not part of my regular routine. Later in chapter 6, the author says, "We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." This is the kind of encouragement where a believer in Jesus is reminding another believer of the hope in Christ that is set before us. Again, this is not attaboys or pats on the back. This is reminding us that Jesus is our hope. And it's reminding us to hold fast to that hope. We should be in the business of encouraging people, of building each other up. But more so, we should be in the business of encouraging people in their walk with God, to fix their thoughts on Jesus, to steer away from sinful ways, and to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. To continue along in Hebrews, we have my favorite verse on encouragement, which is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love, toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The word consider reminds us to give this some deep thought. Consider the people in your life. How can you spur them on toward love and good deeds? Sometimes it can be challenging. Some personalities and situations can be difficult. And spurring someone on toward love may be easier said than done. I think sometimes there are individuals and situations where we need to just start with prayer, saying, "Dear Lord, how can I spur this person on toward love and good deeds?" Nevertheless, it is a great goal for our relationships as we strive to encourage each other. And the last thing I want to look at is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The author had just finished talking about faith and how many people in the Old Testament endured tough situations because of their faith. And then he says these words of encouragement. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." When I look at biblical encouragement, I see that we aren't just giving a pick-me-up and painting a smile on another's face. We are encouraging others to throw the things that are tripping us up off so we can run the race well, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We should be in the business of building others up and pointing them to Jesus. So I talked about the importance of encouragement and looking at verses in Hebrews. Now I just want to talk about a few practical ways to offer encouragement. First off, when it comes to generally building others up, we need to try to get our eyes off ourselves and onto Jesus. We can pray that we would have eyes to see people as Jesus sees them and ask him to show us how we can build others up that come along our path of life and today, even as we are going through struggles ourselves. Secondly, I want to put a pitch in for encouraging those who are in Christian ministry. Pastors and other ministry workers have serious potential for burnout. Sometimes they get an earful of complaints and few encouraging, grace-filled words. Like the people working in the technology back there during the service, sometimes the only time they hear from people is when the sound doesn't work or the online video isn't working. We need to encourage them and thank them for all that they've given, as well as people who are working in other ways in Christian ministry, like the people working downstairs with the children. We should be in the business of building up pastors, staff, and ministry workers. Encourage those who volunteer and work behind the scenes. Third, I just want to say that it isn't too hard to find ways in general to build people up, to affirm them in their activities. But it is a little harder to encourage people in their spiritual walk. We often don't know where people are in their spiritual walk. So I recommend, if you haven't had a chance to do so, to consider being part of a small group. You can stop by the connections table in the back and ask about it. And the reason I suggest this is that sometimes small groups are where a spiritual talk, we talk about where we are spiritually and our struggles. Also, if another possibility is to consider having an accountability partner or a prayer partner. And if you'd like to get started with something like that, you can connect with Pastor Bill or an elder or a shepherd. Fourth, think of little ways that you, in your walk, can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. There are lots of little ways we can do this. There's nothing like the power of a handwritten note or a text just when, at the right time when someone needs it. I'm amazed at how just a few words build someone up. I got a text this morning saying that someone was praying for me as I was going to give this message. What an encouragement. And my last little practical thought on encouragement is to ask others, how can I pray for you? Sometimes that opens the door to ways to encourage. Who can you build up today? We should be in the business of building each other up. Finally, I want to leave you with just one last picture of encouragement. I shared this same example 2 weeks ago in my Thursday morning Bible study here at College Church as we were studying Hebrews, and it actually has a little bit more meaning this week. You may have heard about Team Hoyt. Rick Hoyt was born with cerebral palsy due to umbilical cord getting caught around his neck during childbirth. Doctors said the Hoyts should institutionalize Rick because he would basically be a vegetable. But his parents thought otherwise. They watched his eyes. They were tracking his eyes were tracking them. They met another doctor who encouraged the Hoyts to treat Rick like any other child. The parents persisted and worked to educate Rick. At age 11, computer technology allowed Rick to communicate, revealing he was intelligent and providing him with a way to attend school. In 1977, Rick asked his father, Dick, if they could run the five-mile race in Westfield, Mass., to benefit a lacrosse player at school who had become paralyzed. Now, Rick was in a wheelchair himself, but he wanted to prove that life went on no matter your disability. The father, Dick, at age 36, a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air National Guard, was not a runner. But they ran the race with Dick pushing Rick in an ordinary wheelchair. After their first race, Rick said, Dad, when I'm running, it feels like I'm not handicapped. The Hoyts ended up competing in 1,130 events, including 72 marathons and 6 Ironman triathlons, where Dick pulled Rick in a boat for the swim portion. They ran the Boston Marathon 32 times. And Rick also graduated from Boston University and worked at Boston Children's Hospital developing communication programs for patients who couldn't speak. Dick passed away 2 years ago, and just this past Monday, Rick Hoyt passed away. I asked you earlier what image comes to mind when you think of encouragement. The image that comes to my mind is Team Hoyt. Encouragement is working together to complete the race. Hebrews chapter 12, 12 to 13 reads in the Message version, so don't sit around on your hands, no more dragging your feet. Clear the path for the long distant runners, so no one will trip and fall. So no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Christians are weird. We're not in the race to be the winner, but rather we're in the race building each other up and helping each other to finish well. Encourage one another. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you give each one of us opportunities to encourage one another. Help us not to have eyes fixed on ourselves, but to fix our eyes on Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.